You are listening to a Barry Long podcast. For information about Barry Long, to download more podcasts, or to purchase any of his wide range of books, video or audio publications, visit barrylong.org. That's barrylong.org.
The trick is to take responsibility for your life. It's the rarest trick in the whole of existence, but because very few people ever do. But the whole progress of intelligence is to more and more be responsible for your life. Now, a good way to start is to know not what you want, which is how most people look at things, but to know what you don't want and to act from there. Wanting usually means I want this or I want that, and therefore I hope or I wish or I pray for. That's wanting. But that is not going to do the job, because that's what's landed us all in the current predicament. It's what I don't want. That's what I have to look at first. That doesn't mean what I don't like. Because if I go for what I don't like, I'll go for the opposite, which is what I like. And that's the table tennis of human existence, which leads to ignorance and unhappiness and unfulfillment. Do you know what you don't want? Well, let's start with relationships. Man and woman relationships. Because this is where it all begins. I know we like to put so many other things in its place. It doesn't matter how old you are. That's where it began for you. In your youth, man and woman, attraction to woman if you're a man, attraction to man if you're a woman. And it goes on and on. And eventually, perhaps you get too old, or you think you're too old to worry about it, but it's not true. All women, no matter how old she is, she loves love. She loves attention. She loves acknowledgement. Don't we all? And the older she is, she usually knows what she doesn't want. But by then, it's often more about convenience and inconvenience than about love. So we start with relationship, because you're never too old to have a relationship. Never too old. And you never know when it's coming. Have you learnt yet what you don't want in relationship? Or do you only look at what you want? You see, experience of living is being an experience of becoming more intelligent. It's obvious that to become more intelligent, I must know what I don't want. Not to know what I want, because my wants change in that way, but what I don't want doesn't change. if I'm intelligent enough to look at my life, my situation, and see what I don't want. So in a love relationship between man and woman, what is it, woman, that you don't want? Now, it's no good saying that you want the man to love you, because that's a want of something. What you have to know is what you don't want in a man. Because if you want what you want, it'll end up disastrous. Or familiar, or casual. So, woman, in your relationship with man, what have you learnt? That's what it's about. It's all learning. It's all teaching. Every day of our lives is teaching. What have you learnt that you don't want? Or are you going to repeat it over and over again, looking for what you want, and as a result of being blinded by what you want, by your attachment to what you want in a particular man, then having to pay the consequences of the opposite, of having to put up with what you don't want, and then having to make allowances for it, which every woman does. Until she becomes a real woman. When she becomes a real woman, she's above that. She's what I would call really intelligent. She doesn't want anything, but she knows what she doesn't want. And being true to what she doesn't want, she then has what she wants. And now, man, oh, you're a different kettle of fish, aren't you? As you know, I say that man and woman are two different species. The only thing they have in common, two arms, two legs, and a head. Otherwise, completely and utterly different. Now, it's very difficult for two utterly different species to live together and love together. Well, you can see that. He wants sex to begin with. She wants love. And neither will the two ever meet. Sex and love never meet unless there is sufficient love in the sex. Now, sufficient love in the sex means alluding to intelligence, means there's intelligence in the sexual lovemaking of the man. Not experience, because very, very many men are experienced in lovemaking and they're able to please a woman, that part of her that is sexually orientated, because we're all sexually orientated. But the experienced man doesn't necessarily please her in her love of love and romance. Because woman equates love with romance. And why not? So do I. What about you, man? What is romance, man? Oh, God, you're asking these silly questions, Barry. I mean, what's romance, man? Where does romance start? Well, I'm not going to patronize you or think that you don't know, but I'm going to tell you what romance starts with me, which you already know, of course. Romance starts with the acknowledgement of the woman that you love. I mean, you are living with her, or you're in partnership with her, or you hope to be in partnership with her. Then romance starts with acknowledgement of her. Now, I know there's many poseurs, superficial lovers, who use the approach of flattery and those sort of things to get where they want to get with their sexuality. But I'm talking about a real man, a man who really is attracted to a woman and loves her. He must know that she is looking not only for love, but for romance. And romance is connected with acknowledgement in the first instance. The man loves to be with you, sees you in your underwear and says, "My goodness, you do look great in that underwear." You do, it really, you really know how to wear it. And even if it does, it slips up the crease in your backside and it's so attractive because you're just lovely. You're just so lovely. You know, when they're not looking, they didn't know that. It does that. And that's if you love a woman, then you love every part of her, you know, and she loves you to love every part of her. She mightn't let on as though she notices what you're saying, but she does. Well, am I making this up? You know, when you love a woman and you... Yeah, when you love her, you see, I got a my rule is to love you is to know you, and to know you is to love you. That's having a knowledge of you, not knowing like man knows what woman wants and all that sort of stuff. It's a knowledge of her. To have the knowledge of you is to love you. And that comes from acknowledgement of her. And then you know what happens when you acknowledge a woman, really, and you acknowledge her all the time, because if you're living with her and you love her enough to live with her and come home to her, then she must be worth acknowledging. There must be something sort of special that some other woman doesn't have for now, you know, at this time. So romance begins by continue to acknowledge her, only seriously, meaning only genuinely acknowledgement, not something to make up. Then what happens when a woman is truly acknowledged in love, because the man loves her and she's truly acknowledged? The female appears in her. Now, this is an extraordinary miracle that woman has. Are you listening to me? Because this is very important to us all. The female is the divine truth in woman, the divine beauty, which we were talking about earlier, where the sun rises and you're looking at it and for the sea, and suddenly in a moment you see the beauty of it and you smile, and if tears come to your eyes, it's just a recognition of the beauty that's inside of you, deep down under all your wanting and trying and wishing and hoping and praying. You've seen it suddenly in a moment and then it's gone. But who cares? Because it'll appear somewhere else sometime. Now that's the female. The female in every woman is beautiful. But so often she doesn't get acknowledged that she starts to disappear. She starts to disappear without acknowledgement. But she's there because she is the divine love in woman. Now, woman, what is woman then? If the female is the spontaneous, immediate beauty in every woman when it's there, what is woman in whom it appears? What are you, woman? You are, woman, the product of time, all those years, and experience, all those experiences. That's what woman, who is the base of the female, is. She's made by time and experience. All those years, counting them, getting older, time, experience, all those experiences of man, of non-love, of love sometimes, having children, motherhood, partnerships, all that's experience and time. And woman is the product of that. And that's why woman dies in the end, because she is the product of time and experience. But the female never dies. That's the good news. And man is the product of time and experience. Look. Look at him. Well, you can look at the one in front of you. Getting older all the time. The product of time and the product of experience. All the experience he's had. The memories and all the rest of it. He's that product. So what's the divinity in man? Is it the male? Oh, no. You can't pull that intellectual stuff here. If the female is the God in the woman, what's the God in man? The God in man is man with a capital M. The God in man is noble. The nobility in man, and every man has this fundamental nobility in him. Man with a capital M. Men don't have it, because men are the product of time and experience. And the male that is the problem in man is his sexual drive. So the man, the noble in man, the God-given essence in man, has to transform the sexual maleness in him. He's got to transform that. But he has the power because he is a noble creature. He is beautiful. Every woman knows that man with a capital M, the nobility in man, is beautiful. And that's why she is eternally attracted to him, because of his noble essence, which is the divinity in him, the God in him. As he is attracted to the female in the woman, which is her divinity. And they're both, in one case, in the body of men, and the other in the body of women. Now, if we look at this male force, yes, we'll see that the male is force. The male is assertive and wants his way. The male is impatient, especially in sex, because the male's name is sex, and sex is forceful. Whereas the man starts to convert the male in him, the male in him becomes the love in him. The man, in the first instance, is the nobility in him. But the male, he has to convert, because it is the terrible drive of unhappiness in existence. The force of unhappiness is male sexuality. And the noble man has to, through his intelligence, transform his own maleness, his own force, into the power of love. Now notice the two words. Words always indicate the truth if you can only see straight. The force of sexuality is converted into the power of love by man, nobility of man. So force becomes power. Woman, I'm talking about woman who has sufficient self-knowledge of love. in a wild, passionate meeting. She certainly enjoys the maleness of man, the force of man in the sense of his sexual certainty of what he wants. Because woman loves his sexual certainty of what he wants. Woman wants a man to know what he wants and not to play little boy lost and be self-conscious. She doesn't like that at all. But at the same time, she doesn't enjoy the force that has got self-consciousness in it, that he's trying to do something, he's trying to do something. She doesn't like that. She likes his natural male assertiveness, as long as it doesn't contain self-consciousness and self-consideration. Is that true, woman? Of course it's true. Your love is passionate embrace of you. He's wanting to embrace you and hold you forever, which is what the impression you get from him, of course, because he does. His male sexuality wants you forever. The only trouble is it gets tired. It can't sustain it without the nobility of the man. So that beautiful sexual relationship that you have to begin with, how beautiful it is as he possesses you with all the strength and wonder of your beauty, and he goes and you give him your beauty. And without the nobility of knowledge, of power in the man, it's going to end in 3 weeks, 2 weeks, or a month or so. So man, you see, they're two different creatures, as they say, and if you ever have read my epic poems, which are being made into a book now, with some extra poems, you'll see in The Way of Woman, the poem The Way of Woman, you'll see that man is always in the lists. No, he's in the list means he's always charging the enemy. The noble man is always charging the enemy, or the enemy's always charging him. And he's got to fight that fight as a knight, as a true knight, a noble knight, because knighthood comes from a noble man. The imagery of them, that there was such a thing as a chivalrous, noble man who put love first, because what does chivalry mean? What does chivalry mean? I mean, do we ever think of what chivalry means? Chivalry means to put love first. Only in the objective world of the poets and all those things who wrote about chivalry, which I don't think ever existed, but to put love first is to put woman first. The woman he loves first. Not any woman, the woman he loves first. The damsel in distress, because all women are damsels in distress. And that's why he rides up with his sword and his lance, and he sweeps her up, and the dragon of sex is about to slay her or breathe or take her up to his nest or whatever, and he comes along and he slays him. He's not frightened of his own force of power, of maleness, of sexual drive, because he puts love first. He's not worried about his own life. He's not worried about his male satisfaction of his sexual urge, which is own, it goes as soon as he's had it, or then quickly rises again. He's the dragon. His male sexual drive is the dragon that reappears, that you can never kill until you kill it absolutely and completely in yourself. Not kill it, but transform it. So man's always fighting in the lists with his lance, charging backwards and forwards. Now, you don't see the women doing that, or you probably would today, because they're half men anyway. But the woman's in the lists. She's given him her ribbon to attach to his wrist as a symbol of her love of him. Her love goes with him to strengthen him. Because really he's fighting the enemy for her who's sitting in the list. And in the poem it says she must be silent. She mustn't cry out. quietly. She contains all the emotions as she sees him fight. Well, if you read the poetry, you get it, but you've got to read the poetry with your own experience of life and love. You can't read my poetry just reading through it. You just can't read through it. You've got to take it in and see, what does this mean in my own experience? Because I don't talk about nonsense. So woman's looking for the noble man, and although she enjoys his sexuality, she doesn't enjoy his force. Force comes from lack of knowing what he's doing, or self-consciousness, or self-consideration, or fantasy while he's making love. That is a form of reflection while he's making love, which is unintelligent, and love is about being intelligent, isn't it? I mean, what's the reason that man and woman are so drawn together that they can't stop thinking about each other all their lives in one way or another? How do you explain that? How does a scientist explain that he can't help thinking about woman when he goes for a conference somewhere and he goes and gets drunks and down to the local prostitutes and all the rest of it, which they all get up to, or they're masturbating instead of going to the prostitute, same thing. How do they explain this, these scientists? Are we to believe from the scientists that it doesn't go on? Are we to believe from their behaviour just because they've got degrees on the wall? And just because they can recite Einstein's theory or something? Are we going to believe these scientists who don't put love first, that they're not men and women? Who have everything that I've described about men and women is in every single one of them. How do I know? Because I have self-knowledge. I know everybody, and I know everything about love and truth and God and life and death by the grace of God, which is my own self-knowledge. So you can have the opportunity to dispute what I'm saying now. Anyone want to dispute it? You can. You can. So let's continue. Woman is the hardest thing in existence for man to love. She is extremely difficult to love. But she is impossible to disregard. So man turns to man to love. It is easier for buddies to love than for man and woman to love when they're moved in that direction, when man's moved to man. It's easier to love a buddy. You know, as a song went, you know, My Fair Lady, about woman, and he says, why can't she be like a man? Because we'd understand her if we can make her like a man. We'd understand her. But understanding is not love. Understanding is the limit of the human mind. And we're not talking about the human mind when we come to love. We're talking about something divine. I'm talking like a Yank. Something divine. I don't mean to insult anyone from America, because I know we've got 5 or 6 or 7 men and women all the way from the United States. So here we have the situation. Where woman contains the divine essence, which is the female in her. And the male contains the man in him. And the male, to begin with, every young male, every male, has this first concern is sexual drive, which of course translates into ambition. So he wants to prove himself in the world. Being the only eye in the universe, he wants to be head of it all. He wants to be do everything, achieve everything. That's fair enough, because that's his sexual drive. We're born with that. We can't help it. But inside of him, hidden under his sexual drive for experience, because sexual drive gives experience, doesn't it? Sexual drive drives us to go to war, drives us to go into business, drives us to do all these things as a sexual drive into existence, which is a sexual drive into woman, really. But we drive into existence, we have to, with this sexual drive. You've got to do something with it. Because at that age, it's got to be diverted into something. This enormous sexual drive that's in every man when he's born. So he treats the world as a woman. And he drives into the world for experience. And that's fair enough, isn't it? It's a substitute for woman. And in between, of course, he gets his experience with different poor little girls, and they're not so poor little girls now these days, but at any rate, he gets his experience with them and ambles his way through it and trying to make love and doing what his peers do and gets cool, insults them, doesn't know how to be a gentleman anymore because nobody teaches him to be a gentleman anymore. And so he learns to be, to emphasize his maleness, and he plays more and more football and anything to work off the energy of his sexuality. And even if he doesn't play football, he can't help barracking for the team, whether it's tennis or not, as an expression of his sexuality, to side with one side or another. That's his sexuality, to express it. So he becomes a follower most of the time instead of a doer. But if he is a doer, he's working off his sexual energy. And he does everything else to work off his sexual energy. Meanwhile, back at the female, she's languishing there, waiting for him to come home from the football, to come home from what he's doing, his corporate business, coming home from his computer, to just come and, well, just love me. There's not a woman here who doesn't want to be loved, to be loved, to be acknowledged. I don't care if she's turned her back on man long ago, on the maleness. She still yearns just to be loved, to be acknowledged. She's not yearning to be sexed up. She's not yearning for sex. She's yearning for love, but she gets the two mixed up. She has such a longing for the beauty of man that she thinks that she needs man sexually, because she wants the comfort of being held by man's whatever it is that he's got in him, that extra chromosome or the whatever it is, the one's got more than the other. She just wants the warmth of his maleness, you know, that his passionate maleness with love. But what she gets most of the time is his passionate maleness. And not much of the love. So she doesn't have any romance in her life, because maleness hasn't got time, except for the beginning, to acknowledge her when the maleness wants to get the sexual satisfaction. And then after that's over, or he gets used to her, he doesn't acknowledge her anymore as much as he used to, does he? And that's such a pity, isn't it? But it only happens because you women are stupid enough and silly enough and not to be female. You're still woman. You still get emotional. You still want, you wish, you hope for. You do all these things. You're stupid because you have the power within you to have man to love you. You have the power. I'm not talking about the force. You have the power within you. But how, Barry, do I get this power? the power of the female, Barry. How do I get that? What do I have to do? Waiting in the lists, not moving, not joining my love as he fights the battle there. How do I get the power to be the female that I am? I get the power by not giving in to my want of man, to my thoughts that here I am and don't have a man, or here I am such and such an age and I might never have a man again, so I'll take this one because it doesn't matter that I know it's what I don't want. He still has what I want, and that's the error, the embrace, the love, just for a little while. A little while's not good enough, is it? So, I get the power by not giving in to myself, which thinks it needs or wants man. But if man is with me, he must love me for what I am. Not the woman that I am. He cannot love the woman that I am. That's not true. He must love the intelligence, or I'll use the word that the whole world uses, the consciousness that I am. He must love the consciousness that I am, because the female is a divine intelligence, which the world would call consciousness. The female is a divine intelligence, because divine means intelligence. A woman can't be the female. She can't try to be the female. Although she tries. She paints her faces, she does this, she pulls this and that. She dresses up to present the female. The best that she can do for the female. She does with coloured clothes and all the rest of it. And there's nothing wrong with that, but they are endeavours by woman to present the female, who are all those things, colour, beauty, wonder, all those things. But you can't invent a female like that, as we see on the front pages of all the glossy magazines and in all the videos and movies, that they're all unhappy. They're all so glamorous, so beautiful, because they've got the makeup and the lighting and all the, you know, the light behind the head makes the hair look all beautiful. And they got all that stuff, and that's an endeavour to present the female so that man will masturbate over them or do anything because they're so beautiful, but they're an image. She has to develop the consciousness that man cannot resist loving. How do I do that, Barry? You have to resist your own desire, wanting, wishing, hoping for man's love. Because you won't get it. You have to do it by being this consciousness of the female, the divine consciousness of the female that is in you, in the woman. But what the woman usually does is present this phony projection of the female, and forgetting that her woman is the product of time and experience. Emotion, in other words. Now, the female is not emotional in any woman. The female is a consciousness. Now, I don't like the word consciousness where I come from, because I'm intelligent. And in that I'm conscious, but I'm not consciousness, I am intelligence. Where I come from, intelligence is the right word. Because any reference to consciousness means self-reflection, and I do not have self-reflection. So I'm intelligent. That's not to say I'm anything in particular, I'm just describing what intelligence is. So the female is intelligent. She's in the woman. She's the look that a woman gives without knowing it, that man sees the beauty in her eyes. It's the light in her eyes when she smiles. It's the true smile on her lips when she smiles that's got just this beauty in her. It's just the beauty that he sees. But it's not there all the time, the beauty of the female. But it is, but it isn't, because the man who sees it gets a knowledge. You see, if you see God, if you see God in any form, the result is knowledge of he who sees it or she who sees it. Results in knowledge. And so it's not that you see the female in the woman, and talking from a man's point of view, all the time. It's that you, yes, you do, but really it's the knowledge. You have the knowledge of the female in her. So that's where the love comes from, without feeling. I just love you. I don't feel I love you. That's beneath me to feel I love you. I will not feel I love you, because that's emotional love, attachment. And if you left me, I'd suffer. I just have the knowledge I love you. See, knowledge is not knowing. Now you can all see how far we are from reaching this state, but only because we believe our own feelings. Woman has a feeling that she needs man, and then she exacerbates, makes worse that feeling by thinking about it. And when you think about anything, you put a spin on it. And when you get a spin, it becomes emotional. And then it bothers the brain and you can't stop thinking, because you've remembered your own sexuality and not your love. So man, you have to fight in the lists, and the guy charging at you over there is your own male force and sexuality. And you're the noble one with the ribbon on your wrist. The love of a woman comes with you, the love of the female. And she sits silent and still in the lists, giving her support by her intelligence, but not moving to do anything about it. And the thing to remember, woman, is you can never teach man anything. Never can you teach him anything. The only way you can teach him is to be the female that you are, that consciousness or intelligence that you are, that is not a slave to your own feelings and your own emotions. If the man is going to change that you're with and you are that, then he will change himself. You cannot change him, but you can help him by being this. So how is it for man when a woman is like that? When a woman reaches this stage of intelligence, how is it for man? First of all, he will have a sense in him from time to time that she is cold. Because you see, truth is cold. And ignorance or emotion are warm to various degrees. But truth is cold. And so a woman of consciousness is cold. But she's not depressed. She's not emotional. She's not angry. She smiles a lot because she sees the beauty of life within her and without her. She walks around untroubled, not reflecting on her own selfish feelings, because she's arisen above that with her intelligence. Of course, they're down there. As you know, the potential of all feelings is down inside of us as all thoughts. But the intelligent woman that I'm speaking of, the intelligent female, has risen above that And to a man who's looking for a good fuck, she's cold. She knows what she doesn't want. Go away, little boy. Come back when you're a man. If I'm still here. She is civil and she is loving. She is very loving. She is love. In this intelligence is love, because it's the love of God. Because she loves God first, before any man, she loves God first. God, that power which is behind everything, she has in her. She has the knowledge of that in her, and that's what keeps her focused in the right place. There's nothing inside of her, because inside of her is absence. And if you've got absence inside of you, you've got no feelings. And no feelings means absence of self. But then, you're not depressed. You're not frustrated. You're not impatient. You just are. And man is there to recognize you. A real man recognizes you. Not a male. He might want to fuck you, but that's about it. He might want to be with you for a while and try and subvert you and bring you down by getting attached to him and his wonderful lovemaking and all that stuff. But a real woman doesn't give in to that, because she knows, she has self-knowledge. She knows man. Because she loves man, she truly loves the man in him. So therefore she truly knows the man in him. To love you is to know you, to have the knowledge of you. So she knows the divine in him, and she will not settle for the other, except that if the man truly loves her for what she is, truly loves her, shines on her, truly loves her, wants to be with her, doesn't want to be anywhere else but to be with her, because he loves her, shines on her with the great sun of what he is, S-U-N of what he is, the sun of what he is. He shines on her with his great love of her, which is the knowledge, because he loves her, he has a knowledge of her beauty, this intelligence that she is inside this body, this female. When a woman is loved like that by a man, then he will change himself and she will love him and care for him and look after him without not little boy lost stuff, but look after him as man enjoys woman to do. And he will look after her, but he has to love her consciousness. Now the reason that man is where he is and attached to his male sexuality and maleness is that he has no woman to love. No female to love, because they're all locked in their own feelings and emotions. And he can't love that, because every time he loves that, they get emotional in some way, and or they don't come up to expectations, or he doesn't, and everyone's judging the other or trying to change them. And it's disaster all along the line. Or they live together for comfort and convenience, or for the sake of the children, which is disaster. Sake of the children. You might as well kill yourself, because you're killing love. You have to put God first, and God is love. You have to put love first, before the children, before your house, before your home, before everything, before your job. You've got to put love first. The love of God. The love of the inexplicable. No good asking me what God is. I haven't a clue what God is. Haven't a clue. All I know is God is amazing. That's all I know. That God is magnificent. That's all I know. And I don't know what magnificent means. But do I have to know it to love it? No. I just love it. So I don't want to work it out like the scientists. I don't want to know where it all came from. I know where everything comes from, because I'm intelligent. But it all comes from God. And I don't want to know God. No, thank you. I just want to love God, and that's what I do. I don't love anything else before God. How could I? I love the power of God, the love of God, first. But then I'm just speaking up here to give you an idea of it. I'm not trying to elevate the thing that's speaking here as something special. I just endeavour to objectify this knowledge in your own experience so that you hear it uttered and completely. For I live this. I don't just say it whenever we meet. I live it. Like I switch on the light switch and I am amazed. That's how much I love God. And that's how I know what woman is, that she is a female. And how I know that the male is the noble man. Something beyond his wildest dreams. For that noble man is God itself in physical form. And that is the purpose of love on this earth. That is the purpose for all the suffering, all the pain that everyone goes through. To endeavor to become more intelligent. And stop getting attached. Stop falling in love. But putting first thing first. And so I started off by saying being responsible for your life is to know what you don't want. So do you want these feelings, woman, inside it that you've got to have man and you'll settle for it on anything? It doesn't matter whether he smokes marijuana, whether he smokes heroin, whether he's a drunk or whether he drinks too much or whether he's always at the football or he's always watching the telly. Do you want that? Do you want it? Do you really want that? Well, you've got to know what you don't want. And you start from there. Now, it might be difficult to find a man, for a man to appear that delivers the goods, that can actually just truly love you for your intelligence, for what you are, that shining female that you are, that comes out of your body, that emanates from you, that just through the look in your eyes or just through the way you hold your hands or anything, he just says, I love you. I want to be with you. Well, a woman who is loved like that says, yes, be with me, love me. And she can love back. But she knows what she does not want in him. She does not want his blindness. So that every now and again he goes glazed eyes. And although his eyes are looking out, he's not there. Because he's thinking about something. She's not looking for a perfect man, for her consciousness will make him perfect as he can be, if only he just loves her. And she is not trying to find a perfect man. She knows that there is no such thing, that man who loves her can be made perfect by her being true to God first and not to her own feelings or her own wantings or her own temper or her own dissatisfaction or her own discontent. Her own wanting to be somewhere else, her own wanting to change her life. She can't do that. For God's in charge of her life. For God is the very consciousness that she is, the intelligence he is. You can't get any closer to God than that, than to be the intelligence. That's what changes man. When he loves sufficiently, he can transform his own sexual drive, which is mighty, into love, which is mighty. Because love, sexual drive, God and intelligence are all the same, but they've got to be brought into one thing, into the nobility that man is. The noble man that I speak of. as much as possible, endeavouring to overcome his anger, his frustration, his resentments, his jealousies, endeavouring to do better, that's all. That's all. He doesn't have to change overnight. He can't. But to do better, to give it up, to know what he does not want. And if he doesn't want it, then it won't be acknowledged inside of him. But if he acknowledges it inside of him, he gives it strength. And it troubles him more and more. All right then, so would anyone like to ask me a question? We've been around the universe. Oh no, we haven't been to the universe yet, but we've been around most of our world, haven't we, as man and woman here. So would anyone like to ask me a question about what I'm speaking of? Yes, okay, over to Don. Yes, Don?
Barry, how can... Just looking at my life, I sort of see that I've never loved anything in my... Truly, I've never loved anything in my life.
That is great. Now, that's the first thing. You see, the first thing is to know that I haven't loved, if you haven't. The thing is, many people think they love. But when you come to that state and you start to listen and you see, you look inside, I haven't loved. That's the beginning of love, because it's the beginning of intelligence. Do you understand me? Okay, so say the rest of it, please.
And how do you sort of love the divine in say, woman, when we don't know what it is, and we don't know how to love? Well, I don't know.
Okay. But you are attracted to woman, aren't you?
Yes.
Why are you attracted to her? Now, I understand, I mean... All attraction is sexual, right? Because that's the trick here. Man and woman are attracted together by sexual. But you're not attracted to every woman. You're usually attracted to this woman or that woman, not all of them. So there's something operating there between man and woman, which is a sort of selective process in the attraction, which is not personal necessarily, is it? Because you're not attracted to that one, you're not attracted to that one, but you are attracted to this one. Something happens. It is sexual, but it's called attraction, because everything in this existence is sexual. So, yes, so you're attracted, but in the first instance it's sexual. But the thing is, do you ever see the beauty in woman?
Yes, I do, but I only see the physical. Like, I think whatever I'm attracted to is physical.
Yeah, that's right. That's the sexual, you see. But the more that you endeavour, and you've said that you do not know what to love, that gives the possibility of discovering love. It doesn't mean you're going to do it tomorrow, but it's a possibility. So all you've got to do is live your life with that knowledge, and perhaps it will be revealed to you what it is in woman when the female is there, and you just see the smile or the light in the eyes, and then it's gone. And you say, that's what I love. And that is an acknowledgement of love. But it's only fleeting until such times as you get sufficient knowledge that the knowledge is there all the time. So it's a process of living. Look, nothing happens without living. Do you know that it doesn't matter how many men say they have realized God and they are finished and that's the end of it and all that sort of stuff? That is all misconception. Nobody is finished because there is no end to God. Therefore, there is no end to existence. There is no end to life and there's no end to death. It is all a great cycle of life and death forever and ever. And nobody's finished because everybody meets here. This is it. This is where everybody meets when they meet. There are different people here of different intelligence that has been realized as self-knowledge. A vast range of people here, but still a range that generally has a general area of self-knowledge. compared with the people out there. And you all meeting again here. And you will continue to meet or meet whoever you need to meet in the great cycle of life and death, but not you and not Barry Long. I will never be born again. Barry Long will not. But the self-knowledge of Barry Long will be born again. And it will be retained as that self-knowledge that has been achieved in all the numerous lives that have been lived as this self-knowledge. And the same applies to you. You have had no previous birth. But your self-knowledge, that has always lived, because that is the God in you. And it is your God. It's not somebody else's God, it's your God. Your self-knowledge is your God. It's yours forever and ever. And it will always be there, underneath the worries, the wantings, the hopings, the wishings, the prayers, the Jesuses, the Mohammeds, and all the stupid associations with those people, those things, which are all in the past, where there is only God. Now, the amazing extraordinariness, which begins with when you switch the light on tonight. Where do you think it came from? Where did you think it came from? Or did you ever think that it's just coming from the Electricity Commission? Oh, my God. Someone else ready to ask me a question, please? Yes, okay. Here's one down here, please. At least this lady here.
Hello.
Your name?
Corrie.
Where are you from, Corrie?
England.
England, yes. Mm-hmm. Is this your first time, Corrie?
It is.
Oh, yes. How's it going for you?
Wonderful.
Oh, great. Yes, good.
I read your books and heard some of your tapes.
It's best to be here, though, isn't it?
Oh, it's wonderful.
Yeah,
really
always
is.
Best.
I'm really glad to be here. But I just thought I might ask you, because it does trouble me a little bit, because I have had relationships in my life, but I haven't had a relationship for a very, very long time.
Yes.
And my life, I'm just incredibly isolated, and I have been for so many years, and I don't know what I'm doing, whether it's just necessary for me to go through that isolation, or whether I'm putting up some sort of barrier.
You are putting up some sort of barrier. I mean, you're still an attractive woman, and you love. You're ready for love, unless you've closed off to man. Have you closed off to him because of your previous experiences?
I don't know.
Well, you probably have, in some way or other, because you've isolated yourself. And now it is important for you to be the woman that you are, to break through any selfish attitude that you've taken on. Self meaning self, from past experience. And break the isolation pattern. So what can you do to break the isolation pattern? Where can you go? Talk to people. Smile a bit more than you are. You do. Right? Talk to people. Not necessarily men and everything, but do you get out and talk to people?
Not a lot.
I suggest that you do. Because you must be responsible for your life. And you mention isolation. That was you speaking to me. And I hear words. And that isolation is self-inflicted. Because we're not isolated. There's many, many people. But then we can't be bothered. Or we don't want to. Or it's too much trouble. And all these things that come from a knot of self inside of us. Whereas you have to break through that. And take responsibility. And not isolate yourself anymore. Go and be with people. Now, this might not suit you. It might be not what you want because you've done it for so long, isolated. But it's your problem. It's not. That's what you mentioned to me, isolation. No need to be isolated. Doesn't mean that you're going to go around chatting to everyone. But you go into company and you speak. And there you would find some people that you were in rapport with. And you would talk. And then you're not going to stay, but you go and... When you do that, and you smile a little more, you smile a little more than what you're doing here now, and then you start to emanate the female that you are, you see. When you loosen up and emanate the female, not that you're trying to do it, the female comes out when a woman is, when a woman starts to open herself. Now remember, you can be open as woman, you can be open to man. And women often get frightened about that when I mention that. But the point is that you are the woman. No man can do anything to you or attach himself to you unless it suits you. You are in charge of your own life. So you can be open to man, not for sex, but for love. And who knows, that can always end in sexual love. But in first place, of recognition and some sense of rapport, some sense of attraction. And it doesn't have to hop straight into bed because you're old enough not to have to do that. It's the young ones that got to hop straight into bed and learn that that's not the way to do it. But that's the way to do it these days, I think, and that's the way it's always such a problem, 50% divorces. So go on, get out and give it a go, especially while you're here.
So that makes me reprimand myself for actually having shut myself off for so long.
Oh, but you mustn't do that. That's self-judgment. No. That is self-judging self. You cannot judge yourself for what you've done. This is new. We're new today. You've got to be new today. You don't think about what you did. What you did was absolutely necessary. There is not one moment of your life that has not been necessary. But the question is, does it have to continue from today? No, from this moment, no. So do not judge yourself. We are fresh and new every moment. And if we're not, then we're dragging a great chain behind us. Okay? Thank you, Corrie. Corrie, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yes, thank you, Corrie.
Thank you.
Okay, all right then. So we better stop now. We've covered a lot of ground today already. And this, covering this ground, this honesty that we are sharing together in our knowledge of living, our knowledge of being together as man and woman, as a people, each of you has seen many things in your own experience by just listening. It doesn't matter what you can remember. That is not the point of why I speak to you. I don't speak to you to remember. I speak to the deepest part in you, in which is immediate, so that when you saw any truth in what I've been speaking of, it was immediate. You didn't have to think about it, it's immediate. And that's the importance of this communication between us. No doubt there will be things that you will see and then think about to understand more. Sometimes we have to look at things in our life to understand them better. And you will have been given an energy by what you've seen today to look at your life more closely and more straightly rather than emotionally. So look at it and see what you don't want in your life. And then it's possible, once you see what you don't want in your life, it's possible then to possibly take some action. So thank you all for being here, and bye for now. Thank you.
You are listening to a Barry Long podcast. For information about Barry Long, to download more podcasts, or to purchase any of his wide range of books, video or audio publications, visit barrylong.org. That's barrylong.org.